ዋጋ ሊኖራቸው የሚችለው በሥራ ትርጉም እንዲገለጹ በማድረግ ተከብረውና ተጠብቀው ሲገኙ ብቻ ነው። ወይስ ይህንን ቃል ኪዳን እንዲያስከብሩና እንዲያስፈጽሙ የተፈረደባቸው ደካሞችና ትንንሾች መንግስታት ናቸው?
Frustration, oh yes.
Resolving issues, developing talents, and working at conscious awareness. And the reason why is because I've been doing it for 50 years, and I feel that it's more important to do those three things than anything else. And I know there are those who would beg to differ with me, but, you know, that's one of the cool things is that if we simply take the idea that an issue that we have in our life as something negative is simply a catalyst for us to grow beyond it. And it's something that a lot of people don't do because they don't know how to, and there's nothing on the planet that says this is what we are here to do, this is what we're supposed to do, and so on. One of the opportunities that we have within the context of our life is to resolve as many issues as possible. The flip side of resolving issues is developing talents, so that we have something to contribute. And then the third arena or area of development is conscious awareness. And they all work hand in hand, because the more discipline and development, I guess I could backtrack. I do have one book in print called Love and Wisdom, The Art of Appropriateness. And in that book, I delineate one kind of development, which is bonding, nurturance, encouragement, development, discipline, ownership, and self-mastery. The idea being that as we work within the context of our lives, the life that we live will develop into who we are as the changes that we have made from a psychological, emotional, intellectual, spiritual standpoint. And we humans don't do a very good job with any of the three or all of the three. And it is a curiosity when you think about it, how many people remain stuck within the context of the process of their lives as who they are. And when a person like myself comes along and says A, B, C, D, E, F, G, the likelihood of people listening to my voice is slim and none. As this show is indicative of, I've only had two shows, maybe three shows in the 4 months or 5 months or 6 months, maybe it's 9 months, that I've been back to doing a show. And it's fascinating to me that people aren't interested in evolving beyond, on one level, the death experience or the idea of sin, sickness, and disease. We look at the state of affairs worldwide, and it is the consternation of the powers that be and sources of involvement of why it is that we're more interested in stuck than personal, or relational, social, global, and universal development. And I actually read somewhere where the source didn't understand why people are more interested in confusion and conflict and drama and silliness and addiction, dysfunction, and distraction than simply process so that one's life can work very well, so that there can be effective efficiency with the least amount of effort. It is fascinating to me. It's also industry and interesting and curious that within the context of our lives, that we humanly don't pay attention to details that could be useful to us in a larger depth of being, scope of knowing arena. It fascinates me that people don't work at opening the heart, enlivening the body, or fully activating the brain. We don't work at path as purpose, enlightenment, and speaking our truth. We don't work at knowing the self, serving others, collective ascension. We don't work at intuition, psychic ability, channeling. We don't work at manifesting with a conscious mind, healing, teaching that ascends as a way shower, deliverer, healing, servant, according to truth, beauty, goodness, stillness, peace, harmony, meditation, written books, vision boards, in my case, the self-sustaining, the self-regenerative, the self-perpetuating, the instantaneous, the spontaneous, the simultaneous. People don't realize the importance of meditating every day, which is an important element. And the reason why I've been meditating for about 40 years is because 40 years ago, I got 4 different insights into meditation on the same day. One of the insights was coming across Edgar Cayce's A Search for God, Volume 1 and 2. And as I was looking at the chapters, I was struck by the fact that Chapter 1 of Volume 1 is meditation, and the last chapter of Volume 2 is the exact same chapter. And one of the things that I learned from Edgar Cayce's perspective, it begins and ends with meditation. According to Edgar Cayce, there are as many ways to meditate as there are people on the planet. Now, there are traditional forms or ways of meditating. There are Hindu forms of meditation. There are Buddhism forms of meditation. There is Christian forms of meditation. There are lots of traditional ways to meditate. Within the context of Hinduism, the idea is that you meditate to accomplish bliss consciousness, which is considered the end and the be-all and the end-all. However, there are no such things as absolutes. Not even God is an absolute with an immediate that's infinite, and there's always something else. And what I have found is that joy precedes the process, doesn't culminate the process. If we move to Buddhism, the idea is nirvana. If we move into Christianity, it's the idea of perfection as a state that never changes. The attitudes that the Christians have is that God is perfect and we are not. One of the things that I have learned in my work is we can practice from a point of stillness, joy, peace, freedom, adventure, joy, love, compassion, harmony, or we can work within the context of presence, isness, realness, pattern, content, truth, I amness, allness, godhood. Or we can practice within the context of oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes, prehensiveness, unity, union, connected integration, reintegration. And these are states of existence that correspond to the 7 chakras. One of the interesting aspects of creation is there are different ways of understanding the numeration of existence. By numeration, it can be thought of as 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, which is the, I think it's the Fibonacci. Another, it can be thought of as 1, 3, 7, 13, 21, 31, 43, 57. They can be thought of as interlocking circles, 1 circle, 2 circle, 3 circle, through 7. When you draw interlocking circles, you'll get 1, 3, 7, 13, 21, 31, 43, 57 as the number of parts that compose the circles that are drawn. 7 interlocking circles will have 57 parts to them. I'm convinced that that's the highest level of creation. According to Ramtha, according to Mayor Baba, according to a few others, there are 7 densities that compose the universe that correspond to the 7 chakras, and there are 8 octaves that correspond to each. There is a notion that people aspire to on the surface of this planet right now that we're going from this level of consciousness, which is the 8th octave of 3rd density, into the 5th dimension. You cannot pass an entire arena of growth. One of the fascinating things about the raw material is that Don Elkins would ask a question and the raw would answer. There is intervening material that must be addressed before we can answer that question. And then Don was left with the daunting task of trying to figure out the question that would facilitate the levels that were needed to be asked about before the question could be answered. And I always found that a fascinating element within the body of knowledge that was read. One of the reasons for discipline and development is that the only thing that evolves humanly is service polarization. And guess what, folks? I have only read 1 book it specifically talks about negative service polarity and positive service polarity as a development, and that's the raw material. And that's an interesting thing because we don't work within the context of developing ourselves so that the entire point of reference of our lives is assisting others so that whoever the assistance, whoever is given assistance, can evolve into hopefully the highest levels of conscious awareness that can be attained on a human level. We are very, very close to the time of harvest on this planet. We are very, very close to that time when the planet is evolving from a third density planet into a fourth density planet for this reason. It is only from the perspective of fourth density with positive-based energy. Energy right now, the electron is active, the positron is neutral, and we don't realize that. Only those individuals who have disciplined and developed themselves within the context of positivity are those that are going to be harvested if they are serving. And the simple fact is that people aren't willing to do that. They don't realize the importance of it. You look at the emphasis that people have within the context of the life that they're living, and they're paying attention to everything except what develops the state of consciousness into a greater level of self-expression. So there is going to come a point in time in which one of three things is going to happen. There are those that are going to transition thinking that the world has ended because they are not coming back to the planet because they're repeating their density. There are those that are polarized in the negative, where the emphasis is on the ego, the emphasis is on war greed and class distinction. Those individuals are going to be harvested and removed from the planet. Those who have developed within the context of positive service polarity are those that are harvested, and they are the individuals that will begin the process of working toward collective ascension. I do not know how many years fourth density lasts as a state. Third density, once human beingness is created and brought to life, is a 75,000-year process. One of the things that we all get to do is we get to work out our stuff. And there are techniques that a person can use. I recommend inner bonding. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you what inner bonding is. It was created by Erica Chopich and Margaret Paul. And I happen to carry this little card with me wherever I go. And the card is this, inner bonding. And step one is willingness to feel pain, tune into your feelings. Step two, consciously move into the intent to learn, inviting God's spirit into your heart. Step three, dialogue with core child and wounded child, exploring feelings, memories, false beliefs, releasing pain and anger. Step four, dialogue with higher guidance to discover the truth of the false beliefs and the loving behavior toward the child. Step five, take the loving actions learned at step four. Step six, evaluate the actions. If you are feeling a deep sense of worth, you are behaving lovingly. If not, back to step three. And I was fortunate that I was able to do a five-day intensive with Margaret Paul many years ago when I was living in Livingston, Montana. And the cool thing about the experience was is that I was voted the MVP of that particular five-day intensive. And it was very cool how it worked out. And it was very cool. It was one of the most synchronistic things. Besides resolving issues, developing talents, and working in conscious awareness, we have to learn how to effectively blow our nose and blow our nose in a way that works really, really well. And I'm not being funny with this either, just so you know. I said the other thing is that working at the oneness of synchronicity, which is the right thing at the right time for the right reason with the right person or people. The other is clarity of insight. Another is comfortableness. How comfortable do we feel in our own skin? I'm always fascinated when I tell people I am going to ascend, taking my body with me when I go. And people said, why in the world would you want to do that? And I don't have the heart to tell the people, I said, the only reason why you say that is because you do not like your flesh, blood, and bones. The single most important thing that I was ever told as a piece of advice was this, and it was by Marge, channeling the Council of Layette way back in the 80s. This is what the Council of Layette told me. Quote, "It is in the simple delights that gives the blessing to the human," end quote. I am reminded of that every single time I do something. Every time I eat some food, every time I drink some water, every time I take a step, every time I take a breath, it is in the simple delights that gives the blessing to the human. And so every time that I'm able to take a breath, every time I'm able to drink water, eat food, hug and kiss my sweetie, it's a blessing that makes me feel good with who I am. And that's what I find is real interesting, that we, in the context of our life, wanted to be anything, everything other than human beingness. Here's the tidbit. There's only the human beingness of God is who we are. There's only the human beingness of the universe is who we are. There's only the human beingness of the planet is who we are. There's only the human beingness of Yahweh and it that created us and brought to life. And yes, that's complemented by mom and dad. It works in both ways. So what we are is we are a dual binary vibrancy through the technique of inverse reversal. So it becomes very interesting, the life that we're living, how it works. And the hope is that our life can work very, very well. There's no reason for it not to. The thing that fascinates me is how people in their 60s and 70s and 80s still have the same issues. There are those that have developed particular talents, but how many talents have they developed? I'm fortunate within the context of my life that I developed the ability to write, and so I have books that I've written. I've written 16 books, 8 of which are in print. I'm working on other books. I'm working on another 7 books as we speak. Details are coming into my life that now are facilitating those and that, which is very cool. What happens is as an individual works within the context of his or her life, the discipline and the development evolves the level of consciousness, so there's comprehensiveness within the context of the life. The more comprehensive the life within the context of infinity, the greater the depth of being within the context of God. God is the depth of being, what the universe is the scope of knowing within the context of our humanity that is comprised of not only God and universe, but also divinity and deity, also Yahweh and Id, will and consciousness, love and light, positive and negative, as masculine and feminine, as male and female, that feels or senses things and envisions within the context of ego body, imaging the likeness of mom and dad, Yahweh and Id, living by faith, trust, patience, desire, intention, karma, meditation, written room books, vision boards. One of the really cool things is that we have an opportunity within the context of our lives to develop in a way in which the life that we're living works within the context of everything else. The interesting thing is, one of the roles that meditation plays is that we meditate so that we become conscious of what is inherent in our life, everything that we observe. I was told many years ago when I was standing at 5 o'clock in the morning with 30-mile-per-hour winds in Craig, Colorado, and I believe it was in November, and I was waiting to be picked up by a ride that was going to take me 42 miles to Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and I was looking up at the universe, and the voice told me this: it is only observable because it is apparent. And the cool thing about that means that everything from God, life, human beingness, service, oneness, healing, wholeness, the descends, and so on, is inherent within the life that we're living. It's simply what we're being, knowing, sharing, and ascending. It's very, very simple, and it's fun, too. I asked the question, I'm going to start writing a book called Did Thich Nhat Hanh Ever Have Fun? I said, because I was struck by the fact, one, that he lived the monastic life, and he's educating people that live a completely different lifestyle than he did. And it's odd that that's what we listen to within the context of like the Buddha, Jesus, within the context of lives of people that live kind of the esoteric life. And I think oftentimes it misses the point entirely about what human beingness is. So it makes it curious, and it makes it interesting, and it makes it daunting as well. I look at my life, and I offer the argument that I am to this age what Jesus was to his, Buddha was to his, Zoroaster was to his, with one exception. I'm as God-conscious as Zoroaster, I'm as enlightened as Buddha, and I'm as miracle-minded as Jesus, as one human being. And I bring a unifying teaching to the planet. I'm of the opinion that my teaching is what assists knowing the self, serving others, and collective ascension. And it's not surprising that almost no one, and when I say almost no one, right now I basically have two people listening to the sound of my voice out of 7+ billion people. And my clarity of insight is as good as it gets. The life that I'm living is as good as it gets. I literally live an effortless life. I do not have problems. Things do not go wrong. Everything works very, very well. The reason? I made the decision in 1984 to stop using, I made the decision in 1994 to stop using negativity to draw attention to myself. In 1984, I started using salt to dissipate, dissolve, and ground salt from my body, and I do that every 24 hours. I use sea salt in the bath water, and I use sea salt to dip my hands in when I meditate, and I literally ask the negativity to leave my body because the body will ground positive and negative energy with everything and everyone within the environment. The planet does exactly the same thing. The role that the body plays is the identical role that the earth plays. The role that the moon plays is identical to the role that the brain plays. The role the universe plays is identical to the role the soul plays. The sun plays the identical role that the mind as the heart plays. So the question is, what do we need to do within the context of our human beingness so that we can resolve our issues, develop our talents, and we can become as conscious as possible? It's not that difficult to do. However, if all we do is pay attention to science, religion, education, business, politics, law, medicine, what we are doing is we are simply saying that hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil, war, greed, and class distinction, working under the guise of conquering, enslaving, and destroying are the protocols that we live life as negative service polarity. Here's the tidbit. If a religion has the idea of a destroyer God within it, it means that it is basically subscribing to war, greed, and class distinction, conquering, enslaving, and destroying as the ideology that it is lived by. And guess what, folks? Hinduism has Shiva, the destroyer. Christianity has the warlord God Jehovah as the one true God. Islam has Allah. Judaism has YHWH. And over 5 billion people practice those four religions. Maybe it's 4 billion. Maybe it's 4.5 billion. Anyway, I am the host, Douglas H. Malloy, a.k.a. Dougie Slap. I'd like to thank the show and all that. Anyway, next week I will talk about something of the same character and note. Anyway, this is Beware of the Slapology of Dougie Slap, because it is a type of gung fu, and yes, it will kick your ass if you are stuck. Anyway, all goes well in my life at times, and you want to remember too that this is actually welcome to my point of view, because reality is self-defined, and we'll do it again next week. And just remember this: feel something real, think something true, share them in ways that are kind and conducive. And thank you all for listening, for those who do, and hopefully there will come a point in time in which humanity gets it and evolves and ascends.